Well, welcome everybody. How lovely to be together again on this again a beautiful sunny day on the 10th Sunday after Trinity. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. Welcome in the name of Christ. God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you, and also with you. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Come to the one who is always holding out his hands to us, who is always ready to welcome us, who is always longing to embrace us. Let us come together to God our Father and celebrate his goodness. Amen. You call us out of darkness to live in your marvelous light. Let us say sorry to God for all the times we have failed to live in the light of Christ. Lord God, forgive us for wanting to be better than others. Forgive us for seeking or showing favoritism and putting others down, for wanting what others have and being jealous of those who have more, for selfish resentment towards those who have gained success. Forgive us for fueling unrest with our words or actions, and for letting others do our dirty work for us to deflect blame. Lord God, we are sorry. Grant us your wisdom in thought, word, and deed. Help us live in the knowledge that we are all equal in your eyes. Lord God, forgive us. Amen. We proclaim the name of Jesus. Because of Jesus Christ, we have no more debts. By accepting his love and believing in his death and resurrection, we are set free from the shackles of sin. We are forgiven and free to live and love. Amen. And Jackie has our first reading for us.
And the reading is taken from Genesis 37, starting at verse 1. Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report to them of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. He also made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Then his brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." So he said to him, "Here I am." Then he said to him, "Please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks, and bring back word to me." So he sent him out of the valley of Hebron, and he went to Shechem. Now a certain man found him, and there he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, "What are you seeking?" So he said, "I'm seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks." And the man said, "They have departed from here, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. Now, when they saw him afar off, even before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said one to another, "Look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say, 'Some wild beast has devoured him.' We shall see what will become of his dreams." But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him, And Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit, which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father." So it came to pass, when Joseph had come to his brothers, that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked. And there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices, balm, and myrrh, on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brothers listened. Then Midianite traders passed by, so the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And our psalm this morning, a verse is from Psalm 105. O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. Moreover, he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his elders wisdom. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be for ever. Amen. And Jackie's got our gospel reading.
This reading is coming from Matthew chapter 14, starting at verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him, and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The theme across our readings this week is holding on to hope. Joseph's troubles tested him, but at the same time also purified him. He stayed faithful to God throughout his life, and as he grew, he matured and he changed. Peter also held on to God at a time of extreme testing. He held on, literally. He clung on to Jesus in the face of stormy waters. So, what can we learn from both our Bible readings this morning? Joseph's story sees his popularity range from hero in the eyes of his father, Jacob, to zero in the eyes of most of his brothers. As a child, Joseph was one of my favourite characters. It's a great story. It's a story full of drama, complication, and difficulty. Joseph comes from a dysfunctional family. They have issues, generational issues, favoritism and deception being just two of them. Can you imagine the trauma Joseph experienced, having that coat ripped off him and flung into a pit? In an act of terrible violence by his own brothers. Despite being his father's favourite, despite having his father's love lavished on him, Joseph was powerless in the situation and what followed. And soon he finds himself chained up as a slave and forced to walk at least 250 miles with strangers. How he must have reflected on his childhood and youth in the green and pleasant valley of Hebron. To remind ourselves of the circumstances surrounding this passage, Joseph's father, who loves him, sends him out to see how his brothers are doing pasturing the flocks. His brothers hate him, firstly, because he is the favourite, and perhaps, secondly, because he is not a full brother, they have different mothers. Joseph's father, Jacob, had sons with four wives: Rachel, Leah, Zilpah, and Bilhah. And if you remember from Genesis 29, Jacob originally wanted to marry Rachel, but her father tricked him into marrying Leah first. And in their fight to bear sons for Jacob, both sisters made Jacob conceive children with their maids. Rachel bore Jacob no children until after Leah. Bilhah and Zilpah had between them given birth to 10 sons. When Rachel finally conceived, she gave birth to Joseph and Benjamin, and she died giving birth to her second son. So the beloved and favourite wife of Jacob died after giving him two sons, the oldest of which was Joseph. The sons out pasturing the flocks were the sons of Zilpah and Bilhah, and the birth story of Jacob's children explains the origins of their animosity towards one another. The sons of Zilpah and Bilhah surely felt their father's favoritism towards Joseph, the son of his beloved deceased wife, Rachel. With all of the animosity and turmoil surrounding the birth of these men, is it any wonder that they hated one another? Is it any wonder that Joseph dreams of his brothers bowing down to him, since he has the affection and favorite status of his father? It's a sad fact which many of us already know, and we see lived out in our towns and villages, that the drama and dynamics of one generation can lead to dysfunction in the next. Indeed, in the story of Jacob and Joseph, it is not just the competitive circumstances around the birth of the children, but that their own father treated his brother deceitfully when he was growing up, with Jacob stealing the blessing Isaac intended for Esau and taking his birthright. The multi-generational family fighting and trauma can only lead us to wonder whether what was playing out between Jacob's sons on the fields of Dothan was just about their own feelings, or maybe they were embodying the generational strife they were born into. It is so important that we take care of our relationships so as not to pass on the feelings of ill will to our descendants. What kind of practices and habits of relating to our siblings did we pick up during our formative years? What kind of internalized feelings and attitudes have we inherited from our parents? Unpacking these forms of bad inheritance is essential as we try to raise children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren who can be kind towards one another and to those they consider to be outsiders. If family trauma can be passed down from one generation to the next, how can we stop this cycle from repeating itself? Healing the dynamics of family trauma can take years. Indeed, it is years before Joseph sees his brothers again. And yet, ultimately, in next week's Old Testament reading, we will see an emotional reunion and a beautiful speech by Joseph of how he has made sense of his life's tragedies. What had been intended for evil, God intended for good. Joseph did not deny the pain of what his brothers did to him. He didn't brush it under the carpet. It mattered, and he needed to heal. By God's grace, Joseph was able to see how the misfortune and injustice he experienced led him to a power of position and privilege where he could bring healing and justice not just to his family, but to many people. As his story unfolds, Joseph faced one injustice after the other, but surprisingly, he never seemed to ask why. He displayed extraordinary resilience and humility, not a character trait evident in his teenage years. He no longer had his coat to hold on to, but his identity did not depend on anything external anymore. It depended only on the God who had called him. Whatever happens, Joseph knew God is faithful. Sometimes we too will face such challenges when something central to our identity, a particular role, or the way in which we are seen by others, is suddenly snatched away from us. It can take a long time to recover from such trauma, but slowly, with the right support, we will find ourselves letting go of the pain. Sometimes we lose our sense of God and can no longer hold on to his faithfulness. We can only hope and try to believe that God holds on to us and that the darkest night will turn to day. As I have already said, many chapters later, Joseph was able to say to his brothers, "With all honesty, even though you intended to harm me, God intended it for good in order to preserve a numerous people as he is doing today." In our New Testament gospel reading, we see an insistent and a bossy side to Jesus. He tells his disciples to get into the boat. From the Greek, it is neither a suggestion nor an invitation. Jesus did not give the disciples a choice. He put them in that boat the way a teacher puts a test on your desk. You did not ask for it. You may not be ready for it, but here it is. and you are going to take it. So, what was the test? Jesus had been teaching his disciples for weeks. They had heard the Sermon on the Mount. They had watched healings. They had just participated in the feeding of more than 5,000 people. They had been in a classroom of faith. And now it is time for the test in the form of a storm. Look how Matthew describes it. In verse 24, it says that the boat was tormented by the waves. Our English Bibles may say words such as battered or tossed, but the Greek is far more violent. The Greek word is used elsewhere in Matthew for demonic torment. This is not just rough weather. This is the kind of experience that completely exhausts you. The disciples' arms are spent. Their strategies have failed. Every single skill they have for managing a boat in a storm has been used up. The test has left them defeated and in despair. And this is precisely when Jesus shows up. This test reveals something. Jesus appears on the water at the fourth watch, between 3 and 6 in the morning. In their exhaustion, the disciples don't recognize him, but Jesus speaks, "Take heart, I am. Do not be afraid." Notice Jesus does not say, "I am the bread," or "I am the way." He says the bare, unfinished, unqualified, "I am," the name that needs no completion because it contains everything. He is the one who walked on the waters at creation, the one who rules the surging sea, the one who was present before the foundation of the world, the one who can help them finish this test. But of course, Peter seems intent on testing the one who tests him. "If it is you," he says, as if to say, "if you really are, I am, show me how I can not only pass this test, but do even better by gaining an A triple star by walking on the water with you." Peter sinks. And in his sinking, he learns the lesson the test was designed to teach. The lesson is not try harder. The lesson is not just keep your eyes on Jesus, although that is important. But faith is not primarily a matter of improved focus. The test and the lesson is in these three words, "Lord, save me." So here is the question. What is the lesson that has most shaped you and me for being who we are? We learn the lessons that live, the most important lessons in ordeal, in the traumatic moments, in the fourth watch moments of our lives. This is exactly what Jesus was doing when he compelled his disciples into the boat. He knew that the confession they needed to make, the one that would ground them through everything that was to come, could only be born in the heat and the belly of a storm. When Peter and Jesus return to the boat, the storm stops, and the disciples fall down and say something they have never said before in Matthew's gospel. "Truly, you are the Son of God." This phrase appears only once more in Matthew. It is spoken by the centurion at the foot of the cross. The storm on the sea and the cross on the hill are linked by the same confession, born from the same kind of test. The disciples did not arrive at saying these words through study. They did not arrive at it through attending a lecture or a parable or even through watching miracles. They arrived at it because Jesus compelled them into a boat, sent them into a storm, let them tr struggle through the night, and revealed himself as the answer to the test. I am who saves. So when the testing moments come, and believe me, they will, remember Jesus who showed up at the fourth watch when every resource was spent and when the disciples had run out of words. And when we have two, we only need three. Lord, save me. Joseph was tested. Peter was tested. Losing the multicoloured coat was a test. Being sold into slavery was a test. The storm was a test. We learn from being tested. The test is the teacher, and the lesson learned in the belly of a storm is the lesson that lives and holds us through the next test and the next. As we cling on to hope, may we know in the very fibre of our being, with the disciples on the boat, that truly Jesus is the Son of God who saves. Amen.
Amen.
Jackie's got our prayers for us.
Lord, may we all work together for a safer world. Loving God, in our divided world, we pray for unity among families, among communities, among faiths, among the nations. We pray for peace in the Middle East, in Ukraine, and ask your blessing on all the volatile places in the world, places where those who speak the truth are silenced, and for those who are killed and injured, going about their daily lives. Lord, may those who live in fear cling on to hope, and may we all work together for a safer world. We pray for all displaced people around the world, for those living in abject poverty, and for those in refugee camps. We pray for an end to the exploitation of the vulnerable by people smugglers, and for those whose desperation leads them to climb into small boats to try and cross seas and oceans. We pray for wisdom and compassion for those who have to make difficult decisions about immigration, and for policies that are sustainable and fair for all countries who give refuge to families and those seeking better lives. We pray for those communities overwhelmed by the number of people coming to their shores, and for those communities whose resources are stretched, and for all places where there is tension and mistrust. Lord, may those who are desperate cling on to hope, and may we all work together for a safer world. We continue to pray for all people and wildlife that have lost their lives, their livelihoods, and their habitats in wildfires. For places where drought has devastated crops and where animals are dying. We pray for our farmers and all who work on the land. Lord, may those who are grieving cling on to hope, and may we all work together for a safer world. We pray for those who have been victims of crime, and those who feel justice hasn't been served, and their voices not heard. We pray for those in prison, for prison chaplains, and all who seek to help offenders turn their lives around. We pray for those entrusted with the responsibility of sentencing and releasing those who have committed crimes. We pray for the families of victims whose killers have never been brought to justice. And we pray for the families of those in prison. Lord, may those who feel overwhelmed cling on to hope, and may we all work together for a safer world. And finally, we entrust to you those we love, those who are ill, those who feel lost, those who carry heavy burdens, and those we are estranged from. And today we especially think of the sick. Jack, Mary, Derek, Anne, Brenda, Tony, Brian, Nigel, Audrey, John, Richard, Kathy, Bob, Mary, Ron, Jemima, Mary, Margaret, Colin, Richard, Hilary, Guy, Michelle, Sachian family. And we also think of Rackingford School, Tiverton High School, and Tiverton Hospital. Lord, may those who are struggling cling to hope, and may we all work together for a safer world. In Jesus' name, Amen. And the collect for the 10th Sunday after Trinity. Lord of heaven and earth, as Jesus taught his disciples to be persistent in prayer, give us patience and courage, never to lose hope, but always to bring our prayers before you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Trusting in the compassion of God, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen. May God, who loves you and has chosen you, strengthen you to live as God's holy people. Jesus, you call us to follow. And the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you this day and always. Amen. Dear God, help us to hold on to you this week, even when we can't see you. Help us to hold on through good times and bad. Thank you that you always hold on to us when we remember you and when you forget, we forget you. Amen. Thank you, Jackie. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you.
I hope you have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you both.
And thank you. Thank you, Steph. Thank you, Jackie.
And see you next week.
Will do.
For next week's roaring in next instalment. Okay. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.